covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be sure just where it was right now. It could be moved to the mm-hmm. covenant, but that's never been found.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they found it, they'd make it a ritual out of it. Right.
Just like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to a place where he could never be found because
right.
He's bound to be worshipped.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're getting feedback.
Lay the foundation of the earth.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Well, are we ready to go again?
That's why we get people off
I took one, thanks. Thank you. Okay, let's get back to heaven. As I was saying way back.
I never left. I didn't leave.
Okay, you turn to Genesis. You start off with creation, right? And right away it moves into Adam and Eve in the garden, and they want to partake of the forbidden fruit, and so chapter 3 we have sin. So chapters 1 and 2 we have creation. Then sin comes in 3, and God comes in, starts the plan of restoration. So really the 7 foundations of the Bible, we have 4 of them represented right away. Now we read about creation certainly in Job. You'll find probably more about creation in Job than you will in Genesis. And it refers to in Isaiah and other places about God's creation, certainly. But foundation 1 is creation. Foundation 2 is the origin of sin. Foundation 3 then is the fall of man. Foundation 4 is the restoration of man. Most of the Bible is the restoration. Beginning in chapter 3 of Genesis, all the way to the cross, into the Gospels, is restoration. It's the largest part of the Bible, is God's plan for restoration and the fulfillment on the cross. And then we have the church age, and then we have the tribulation and millennium kind of together, and then the new heaven, new earth.
What do you suppose 7. God wanted? What was revealed to Moses, because he wrote the Genesis, about creation to be so brief? Why wasn't it expanded more?
Well, because we wouldn't understand it, for one thing.
Well, you're probably right. I would agree on that one.
It would give the evolutionists more to dispute. Romans 11:33 is the answer to that question.
Which?
Romans 11:33. How unsearchable are his ways, unfathomable his judgments. You know, there's some things we really don't know. I look at it this way. God gave us just what we need.
Yeah, that's.
If he gave us any more, you wouldn't be able to carry it, and you'd be so frustrated. A lot of people are frustrated already. I'm going to ask this question. When you first started to work on the Bible and understand the Bible, how many of you really thought you'd never understand the Old Testament? How would I ever, you know? I'm not an expert, certainly going to claim that, but I really know the Old Testament because I know God. And he wants us to know it. I don't know every king. I can't name all the kings of the northern and southern kingdoms and so on. But I know the basis of it. And there are only certain principles in those 9 foundations. You know the 9 foundations, you have the building blocks for it. And then you begin to fill in with God's principles. Right? And that's what I'm trying to bring out right here, because chapter 12 is to recycle back. Recapitulation is called to recapitulate, to go back. Because that's what God is trying to do. Not trying, but He is in the process of doing. And at some point, we will come full circle back to the garden. Only now will be the new Jerusalem taking up the whole land of Israel, 1,500 square miles and a cube high. Right? Now listen to this. If sin had not entered into the world, we would not have that. Now we're not going to go and thank Adam and Eve for sinning. And Satan and everything else, certainly. But this shows our God. That's the only reason I bring it up. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those in Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. Jesus being God, in other words. What? What we lost in the garden was a lot. We lost our innocence. And with sin, everything you think of today, the horrors, just going to the hospital, watching children dying of cancer, all these things, accident, whatever, wars, all this. Look in the mirror and you'll see a great result of sin, the deterioration of the body. Compare it to when you were 16. You probably don't even recognize yourself anymore. That's all a result of sin. But as bad as that is, God took that away and said, I'll even give you something more glorious. I'm going to give you a body like mine. And we wouldn't have had God in the flesh. He would be in spirit, manifesting enough so they could see Him, obviously, when He came to visit. But just think about that. And that's what this is about now, is God bringing us back to the garden. But then, eventually, when all of the rest of this is over, we get to chapter 19 of Revelation, then what's going to happen? When the kingdoms of the earth become His, then we have that fulfillment, right? For us, because we're in the church, right? So, where does sin originate? That's foundation two. Where does it originate? You won't read it in Genesis, but you know it's there because of that tree. Now the question is, when did Satan rebel in heaven? Prior to Genesis 1? Right after Genesis 2 and before 3? I don't know. I don't think you can figure it out. You can say, well, go to Genesis 1. It talks about the earth, this dark mass. And then He brought light out of it. That could be Satan.
I don't know. Can't prove it.
But I can prove where Satan began. Not when. But when in different time periods, yes. Before this and after that. Only two places I know in the Bible that talk about that. And then we have some reference right here in Revelation. So where are they in the Old Testament?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. Chapter 14. Beginning with verse 12. Ezekiel 28. Beginning with verse 12. So now it's easy. It's both verse 12. That was nice. And if you read about that, you're going to read about Lucifer, meaning the angel of light. Luce means light. There were three key angels, Gabriel, Lucifer, and Michael. Of those, one is an archangel, and that is Michael. He is also, now follow this, he is also the patron angel for the nation of Israel. And he's the archangel. Now what does that tell you about God and Israel?
A close connection.
Well, you better be careful when you start moving against Israel. Right. But Lucifer had under his authority one third of the angels, and probably the other two each had a third. And there, I'm going to go into the whole study, but you will find through the Bible, you'll see that they are organized like a military. There are other angels in charge of other groups and so on, and they're specialized into what they do. And some of them are specialized in helping you as a believer. So basically what happened is, one third of those followed the rebellion of Lucifer. We know as Satan, characterized by this dragon. He's called the red dragon because of blood, shedding of blood, evil. You think it would be black, but no, blood, death, killing people.
Tell us about the giants.
Yes, and it says that his tail swept away a third of the stars and things like that. All the symbolism that's in there. But basically, that's what you have. If you read these two references, when people say, well, what do you mean? Where does Satan come from? Whatever. Where is the rebellion in heaven? It's in those two prophets. You should really have those down because it's very important. Or you could write them. If they're not cross references right here, you should write them. Alright, so now if you understand that, we should be able to understand the description here of what's happening with this dragon and this woman giving birth. So let's read then in chapter 12. Let's see, I guess we start right at the beginning. Yes.
And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in her pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, the great red dragon with seven heads.
Okay, let's take the woman first. Turn to Genesis with your cross reference there in your outline. Genesis 12, is it? Or 14?
37.
7? Okay. Oh, by the way, I just found some more information here. While you're doing that, I'm going to take care of your phone. I'll take care of some business. Somebody asked about what each book in the Bible referred to Jesus as the such and such. Okay, I have those. Now, who asked for it?
I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Was it Diane? Okay, in Genesis, read that. That's the vision, dream that Joseph had, one of his dreams.
37:9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. You want me to continue?
Okay, what is this?
That's 9.
Yeah, okay. So talking about stars, who are the 11 stars?
His
11 brothers. So he's the 12th star, okay. And it talks about the sun and the moon.
Father and mother.
Okay, and who do they represent?
Israel.
Yeah. Now I'll go back to 12. So who is that woman?
Israel.
It's not Mary.
No.
Right? It's referring to the nation of Israel. Okay, go ahead now. Then you saw the dragon. Dragon. Somebody read next, the dragon.
12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the stars. Okay. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head.
Okay, now, what are diadems? Same as crowns. Now, does that sound familiar to what we read earlier?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same, isn't it? Okay, so we know we're talking about the same person, in a sense. We're talking about